I must add, Rabbi Say, this whole Zoom setup is bedievid. Really, we should be sitting around a table together like in the good old days in a Beis HaMidrash, having an interactive share. But for whatever reason, it's not possible. But we want to have a careful balance. On one hand, having an interactive share, on the other hand, not an interruptive share. There's a difference between interruptive and interactive. So everybody can feel free to take off their mute function, but the share has to keep its pace, Bezrat Hashem, but it should be interactive. That's the main thing.
I haven't been here for 3 days, so how is this possibly relevant to me?
Oh. Oh,
No, I only said it now because I noticed almost everybody's on mute. That's all.
those of us who are using the Macintosh version, all I do is push down on the space bar on my keyboard, and that unmutes me temporarily while I talk. Then I release it; it goes back to mute again.
Oh, wow, very good.
So I'm able to interact if I want to.
Okay. So please feel free. But in the good old days, that's the way it used to be. Maybe one day it'll be again. We're on the Gemara Daf Yud Dalet Omed Beis. If you remember, we're talking about Egla Arufa. The Zakenim have to go out and measure this dead body. How close is he to the nearest city? How many Zakenim do you need? We saw Machloikas yesterday, either three or five, depending on the droshes, which we're not going to get involved in again. The Gemara added two extra halachas at the end, if you remember, which we also make droshes for. Number one, the Bez didn't have to send the Zakenim themselves, not on a day of Shliach. And the very final halacha, and with this we finished, was even in a case where it would seem to be overwhelmingly obvious that the dead body is closer to one city than another, but there's still a mitzvah to do a medida. A medida means a measurement. So the zakein would have to go out and bring all the apparatus and work out mathematically which is the closest city, even though it might well be obvious. Why would that still be necessary? We learn from Apostle that's what you've got to do. So we are on the very top line. The last word of the top line of Daf Yud Daled Beis. Masnisin deloi ki hai tana. That which we have learned in the Mishnah stated above is not the opinion of the following Braiser. Tanya, because we have a Braiser that says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Oimer. Remember, that's the precise pasuk that we've been busy learning out. You've got to have three dayanim or five dayanim and all the halachas that we've just discussed. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov learns something else from there. That's why we're saying it doesn't seem to be fitting with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. What does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov learn? Says the Gemara, the Tanya. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, quote unquote. Zakeinecha, what does he learn? Zoom Sanhedrin. So he learns in the word Zakeinecha, this is a reference to the Sanhedrin. Veshoiftecha, ze melech v'koyin gadol, a brand new halacha. Rabbi Elazar.
Excuse the interruption. Larry, your son Alex is trying to log in, but he's mistakenly going to me and I'm not hosting. He has to go to the previous link with Avram Sheffield.
So what do we learn? V'shoiftecha, we learn a new halacha, ze melech v'koyin gadol. So this is a brand new halacha, and this is what the Gemara is saying, that this does not fit with what we learned until now. Nobody has suggested until this point that you have to have a melech there, or you have to have a koyin gadol, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, okay, clearly disagrees, and he says that the word v'shoiftecha is a reference to a melech and a kohen gadol. Now, we normally translate v'shoiftecha as a judge. So how on earth did Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov see in that word v'shoiftecha any reference to a melech or a kohen gadol? So the Gemara says, I'll explain. Melech, diksiv, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, melech b'mishpat. Yamid Eretz. So you see that the function of the Melech is to be a Shofet, a judge. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, therefore, I have every license to understand that the word V'shoiftecha is a reference to the Melech, because that's what the Melech does, as you see in this pasuk. And what about Kohen Gadol? Kohen Gadol diksiv ubasa el hakohenim halevim ve'el ha'shoifet. So once again, the Kohen is referenced together with the Shofet. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, if that's the case, when it says V'shoiftecha in our pasuk, that could be a reference to a Kohen Gadol. Now, that is the end of the Braisa. So what's the Gemara's point? The Gemara's point is that until now, nobody has made any mention of requiring a Melech or requiring a Kohen Gadol who has to go out and measure the dead body, the Zakenim. We saw, not any old Zakenim, it's got to be the Beis Din, not any old Beis Din, it's got to be the Sanhedrin HaGadol, that's all true. But nobody ever dreamed or suggested that it's got to be a Melech and a Kohen Gadol. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the one who disagrees. That's his prerogative. And he learns the pasuk differently. The word V'shoiftecha is a reference to a Melech and a Kohen Gadol. So the question is, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov clearly disagrees with that which we've said previously. But how many points of disagreement? Meaning, the Melech and the Kohen Gadol bit, well, that's definitely a disagreement because nobody ever suggested it. But what about the Sanhedrin bit? The first opinion says that you need a Sanhedrin. Does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agree with that? He's just adding Melech and Kohen Gadol? Or is Melech and Kohen Gadol in place of the Sanhedrin? This is the Gemara Shaila now. Says the Gemara, Iboy Elohu. The question needs to be asked. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, b'chada pligi polig, or b'tarati polig? Is he disagreeing with one, or is he disagreeing on 2 points? Meaning, b'melech v'koyin gadol polig. Well, he obviously disagrees with regard to melech and koyin gadol. That was his drosha. Nobody else made that drosha. Aval b'Sanhedrin, but with regard to the Sanhedrin, maybe there he agrees to the previous opinions, Ikar Rabbi Yehuda, Ikar Rabbi Shimon, you either need 3 of the Sanhedrin or 5 of the Sanhedrin. So in that point, he may well be in agreement. Oy Dilma, or perhaps not. Or perhaps b'Sanhedrin, Nami Polig. Maybe he holds that with regard to the Sanhedrin, he also disagreed. Maybe we said it not accurately before. Everybody must hold that you need Sanhedrin there because that's a simple translation of the pasuk Zakenecha. The $64 million question was, how many Zakenim do you need? So until Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov came along, who did we have? We had Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, learning from various words in the pasuk, either 3 or 5. Does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agree to that? Yes, it's got to be either 3 or 5, plus the Melech and the Kohen Gadol, which means his only point of disagreement is in the fact that he adds the Melech and the Kohen Gadol. Or perhaps he even disagrees on the first point as well. And he says it's not 3 or 5, but rather it's the entire Sanhedrin. Maybe Zakenecha, as far as Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is concerned, is the entire Sanhedrin. So you'll have to wheel out 71 Dayanim plus the Melech and Kohen Gadol. And if that would be the case, so it's not a single Machlokes, it's a double Machlokes. That's the Gemara Shaila. That's what the Gemara says. Oy Dilma, or perhaps, B'Sanhedri Nami Polig. Maybe with regard to the number of Sanhedrin, he also disagrees. Da Omar Kula Sanhedrin Bo'inam. Maybe he requires all of the Sanhedrin. You, Reb Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, you said no, you only need 3 or 5 based on various drashas. Well, maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov doesn't agree to those drashas, and therefore, Zakenim means all the Zakenim. Since the Gemara says, well, we can prove it. Omar Rabbi Yosef Toshema. So let's prove it. We can resolve this question. Is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov disagreeing on one point by saying you need the Melech and the Kohen Gadol? Or is he disagreeing on two points and he's saying not only do you need the Melech and the Kohen Gadol, but actually you need the entire Sanhedrin as well? So the Gemara says, let's prove it. Toshema. Motzon Abeis Pagi. Va'amora Alehen. How do they translate Hamora with you? A spade?
Well, sorry. Oh, that's a place. Sorry, here. Hamora.
Now, just before that, how do they translate? Motzon Abeis Pagi. They found.
Oh, yes, sorry. Motzon Abeis Pagi, the Himra, and rebelled against them.
Yes, so what was the case? Translate before that. So it's not Vahamora. Yes, you're quite
no,
right.
No, he says Mitzon, and they add a rebellious sage found.
Mm-hmm.
Abeis Pagi. And then there's a note on Beis Pagi. Do you want me to read that one? Literally, the place of
inside the wall of Yerushalayim. Yeah.
Ah, I see. Okay. The Himra Alehim, and he found the Sanhedrin at Beis Pagi, and rebelled against a ruling against them.
This is a halacha that we have not previously bumped into, and it's called the Zokein Mamre. Zokein Mamre is, as Rabbi Yosef just mentioned, when you have somebody disagreeing with a psak of the Beis Din. And there's a whole process, what do you do with somebody like that? So the question is, where must this place take place in order for it to constitute the halacha of Zokein Mamre? And that's what this Bryce is talking about. Toshema, Mitzon Abeis Pagi. Now, where's Beis Pagi? What is Beis Pagi? So have a look at the top line of Rashi. Beis Pagi, Mokoim Lifnim Minchoimas Ho'ir. It's a place inside of the walls of Yerushalayim. The Nidoin Ki Yerushalayim. And it is considered, therefore, to be part of Yerushalayim. L'chol dvarov, for all halachic matters. For anything where Yerushalayim is important, meaning is a necessary part of the halacha, this constitutes Yerushalayim. Okay. So, mitz on abeis pagi vehimro alehen. The halacha, by the way, is very, very strict. If somebody is considered a zokein mamre and he rebels against the Beis Din, he's put to death. He's put to death by strangulation. Is there a significance as to where he disagreed with the Beis Din? Or can it take place in Alabama as well? Or at least Beis Pagi. So the Gemara says, if this happened in Beis Pagi, which is within the confines of the Yerushalayim walls, the Himra Alehen. And he, Himra means he disagreed or rebelled against the Beis Din. Yochol, I might have thought. Tehei Hamra Osoi Hamra. So maybe that rebellion should be considered a perfectly valid rebellion. And if that's the case, as Rashi says, go back to now the top Rashi. Second line, Motzon Zokein Mamre Le Sanhedrin. A Zokein Mamre, he wants to challenge now the Sanhedrin, Chutz Le Lishkas Hagozis. The Lishkas Hagozis, Lishka is a chamber. The famous Lishkas Hagozis, Shehoiso Bahar Habayis. The Sanhedrin Hagodl, that is, used to sit in a special room in the Lishkas Hagozis, at the Beis HaMikdash. So Yachol Tehi Hamra Osay Hamra. You might think that this constitutes a perfectly valid rebellion against the Bezin, says Rashi, and if that would be the case, Lidoin Chenek, you would therefore have to be you'd have to be strangled. Says the Gemara, actually, no. He's not. Why not? Look at the Gemara. Talmud Loima, Vakamto, Va'olisa El Hamokin. Vakamto, Va'olisa El Hamokin. He has to stand in the place. Which place? Melamed Shahamokim Goyrem.
Goyrem, what?
Goyrem means causes. The Mokim is Goyrem. The Mokim is Goyrem. There is a crucial element in the parasha of Zokin Mamre, it's got to be in a particular mokim. So therefore, even though this happens to be within the confines of Yerushalayim, but it's not where, which halacha is not being fulfilled?
The mokim.
There's a suggestion that has to actually happen in the Lishkas Hagozis. Remember what happened? Motz on a base pagi, which Rabbi Yosef, correct me if I'm wrong, means that he found some of the Dayonim outside of the Lishkas Hagozis in base pagi. Is that how they translated with you?
Yeah, found the Sanhedrin in base pagi.
Correct. So he found the Sanhedrin in the base pagi, which is some area within Yerushalayim, and he disagreed with them. So therefore, the Havamina of the Gemara was that this should be the normal halacha of Zokein Mamre. Says the Gemara, Talmud Loima, Vekamta V'olisa El Amokoim. This has to happen in a particular place, Melameid Shamokoim Goyrim. There has to be a particular Mokoim, not in Beis Pagi, but rather in the Lishkas Hagozis. It's got to take place in the actual place of where the Bezdin are sitting, which is in the Har Habayis. That's where it's got to take place. So now the Gemara asks a question. The Nofok Kamo. The Nofok Kamo. How many of the Bezdin exited? In other words, you told me that the Bezdin are not there in the Lishkas Hagozis, they're in a place called Beis Pagi. Now, what does that mean? How many? What, the entire Bezdin? Some of the Bezdin? Minority of the Bezdin? How many did he bump into in Beis Pagi? Says the Gemara. The Nofuk Kamo. How many left? Nofuk means to exit. How many had exited the Lishkas Hagozis and were now to be found in the Beis Pagi? Ilema miktsasom. If you're going to tell me just a few of them, not the entire Bezin, if you're going to tell me just a few of them, Dilma, perhaps, Hanach, those, the Ikka Gavoi, those who are still left inside, Kaimi Kivosei, maybe they hold like him? Meaning, you've got a Bezdin of 71 Dayonim, that's the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So imagine, for argument's sake, that a few of them left, 20 of them left, and they're now all sitting in Beis Pagi. They are talking in their learning, Paskan and Shaila, and this particular individual says, sorry, I disagree with you, I want to overrule. So what is that called now? That's called rebelling against the Bezdin. But maybe the 50 Dayonim who remain behind, maybe they actually concur with this particular elder. So therefore, you haven't rebelled against the Bezdin. Have a look at Rashi on the fourth line. Ilema de Nofuk Miktsosom. If you're going to tell me just a miktsas, just a few of them left, v'hoiru oison shebachutz, v'hoiru loshon of hoira psak, and those who are bachutz, they paskin the shaila, v'himra al divrehem, and he rebelled against their words, my iria mokoim goirem. So why are you telling me that the reason why he's not considered a Zokim Mamre is because of the Mokoim? Forget the Mokoim. The Mokoim surely is irrelevant. I've got a much better reason to exempt him. And what is that? Taper clay de potter. Can't you, I just assume that he's exempt, Mishum Dilma, because perhaps Hanach de Belishka, maybe those remaining behind in the Lashka, Kavosei, just like him, Svira Lahu, they hold. So why are you telling me that the reason why he's exempt from being strangled is because he's in the wrong place? Forget the place. There's a much better reason to exempt him, because who says he's rebelled against the Bezdin? If only some of them have left, well, maybe, quite frankly, most of the Bezdin have left behind, and they all concur with him, not with them. Says the Gemara, back into the Gemara, Elo Pshita. So it must be overwhelmingly simple. What are we talking about? The Nafuk Kulhu. They've all left. All 71 Dayanim have left the Lishkas Hagozis. They're all now assembled in Beis Pagi. They paskin their Shaila, and this particular individual rebels against them. Ah. So here I would have thought that what? I would have been justified for thinking, well, that seems to constitute exactly the halacha of Zokein Mamre. He's rebelled against them. That's why we needed to be taught that. No, it's the wrong mokim. The mokim is geirem. It's got to be in the Lishkas Hagozis. So it's not enough the fact that he rebelled against the entire Sanhedrin. It's got to be that he rebelled against the Sanhedrin in the Mokim. And this is the wrong Mokim. Okay, fine. So far, so good. Says the Gemara. One second. We're still not yet clear in this case. Lamai. What exactly was the subject over here? Ilema ledvarashus. Why did the Sanhedrin leave? They were in the Lishkas Hagozis, and they left, and they went to Beis Pagi. Why did they leave? Is the Sanhedrin allowed to leave in the middle of judging? So the Gemara says, Lamai, for what reason? Why did they leave? Why are they in the Beis Pagi? Why did they leave the Lishkas Hagozis? Ilema ledvar harashus. If you're going to tell me they left, not for any mitzvah purpose, just ledvarishus, for some permissible activity, but not a mitzvah, they left because they wanted to go on a walk. Mi motsu nafki? Are they allowed to leave? Bezdin are not allowed to leave unless it's a mitzvah. They can't leave the Lishkas Hagozis. Why not? V'hoksir, we have a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Sirareich Agan Hasar Al Yechsar Hamozik. It's all complicated pasuk, but the bottom line is, we learn from over there that they have no rishus to leave. They're not allowed to leave if it's just for merely Lidvar HaRishus. So why on earth did this Sanhedrin leave? So it must be, says the Gemara, Elo Pshita Ledvar Mitzvah. Ah, okay. So we're getting to the crunch now. We're designing the scenario. It must be that the entire Sanhedrin left, that we've already established. And why have they left? They've left Ledvar Mitzvah. Apparently there was an urgent matter which justified their leaving the Lishkas Hagozis because they had to take care of a mitzvah. Which mitzvah? Which mitzvah would require the entire Lishkas Hagozis? I think everybody can see now where this is going to. Which mitzvah, phenomenal piece of Gemara. Which mitzvah would require the entire Lishkas Hagozis to leave? Says the Gemara, hey Chidami. What is the case? Which mitzvah? Lav lemedidas eglo. Isn't it must be for the measuring the egla arufa? 1 second. So why are all 71 dayanim leaving? Didn't we say on the previous omer you only actually need either 3 or 5? So maybe we can now resolve our question. A gewaldiger piece of Gemara. The Gemara said that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov clearly disagreed with regard to Melech v'Kohen Gadol. But did he also disagree and require 71? Ah, maybe indeed. Because we have a brisa, which the only way of explaining it was to talk about that the entire Sanhedrin left for a mitzvah. Well, which mitzvah would that be? Our initial suggestion is for the mitzvah of Egla Arufa. Well, why on earth are the entire Sanhedrin leaving? According to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, only 3 need to leave, or only 5 need to leave. So would this not be a proof that it must be that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that no, 3 or 5 is not enough, and you've got to have 71, Rabbi Larry?
Is there any reason to think that if Sanhedrin leaves that special place, not for a Dvar Mitzvah, then they're no longer a Sanhedrin? The whole identification of a Sanhedrin is either they're together in that place or they move together for a mitzvah. But if they leave and then that's not for a mitzvah, they're not even called the Sanhedrin. They're just right. 70 men that happen to be.
Yeah, very good point. They've disbanded. They're not considered a Sanhedrin anymore. Good point. So either way, this is the Gemara's now fantastic suggestion that although it doesn't say which particular mitzvah, but let's suggest that the mitzvah being discussed is the mitzvah of Egla Arufa, and why are all 71 leaving? It must be that this is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov talking, and apparently he requires 71 dayonim. Says the Gemara, Eicha Domi, Lav lemedidas Egla. Isn't the example, aren't we talking about measuring the Egla Arufa? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Da'omar, Kulei, Sanhedrin, Bo'inon. Maybe that's what we're talking about. In which case, we've managed to prove our case that apparently Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov not only disagrees with regard to Melech v'Kohen Gadol, but he also disagrees with regard to the amount of Sanhedrin. 3 or 5 does not suffice. Rather, you need 71. Omale Abaya Loi. Says the Heiliger Abaya, no, I'm sorry, I can disprove your proof. I've got another scenario. I've got another example of why the Sanhedrin would leave, and therefore you've got no conclusive proof that they left for Egla Arufa purposes. Maybe a different mitzvah. Really? Which mitzvah would require the entire Sanhedrin to leave? Says Abaya, I've got another example. Kagoin, Sheyotsu Lahoisif. There is a halacha, which is actually also mentioned in our Mishnah Daf Beis, which we'll come back to. Every city has its borders. And there are halachic ramifications of where the edge of the city is. Halachas that we'll not get involved with for the moment, but there are halachic ramifications. So what happens if there is a suggestion to extend the borders of the city? That can be done, but it's got to be done by the entire Sanhedrin. And that's what Abaya is suggesting. Maybe that's why they left. The Tanan, because we have a Mishnah, Ein Moisifin al Ha'ir v'al Ha'azorais. By the way, which city? We're talking about the city of Yerushalayim, obviously. If you want to be Moisif onto the city of Yerushalayim, just as an example, we know that you've got to take your Maisa Sheni up to Yerushalayim. So clearly we need to know, well, what is the city of Yerushalayim? What would be constituted Yerushalayim? So can the shape, can the borders of Yerushalayim be altered? The answer is yes. But, as the Mishnah says, Ein Moisifin al Ha'ir v'al Ha'azorais, Elo be Bezdin shel Shivim ve'echod. This can only be done in the presence of 71 Dayanim. Therefore, if you have brought me an example of you've got the entire Beis Din and the Lishkas Hagozes and they all left, and we agreed that they can only have left for the purpose of the mitzvah, I'm sorry, you've got no right to prove your Egla Arufa halacha, because who says it to Egla Arufa? Maybe they left in order to be Moisif Al Ha'ir. You'll ask me, well, why do they need to leave at this particular moment? Why could they wait for an hour? I don't know. But for some reason, there was a pressing urgency. Yeah, Larry?
Wouldn't the Sanhedrin have to identify the Beis Pagi as being an extension of Jerusalem? That's exactly what they're talking about. The Beis Pagi is a surrounding area that's around Jerusalem that takes on the credentials of Jerusalem.
But Rashi already told us that Beis Pagi is not subject to Machlekas. Beis Pagi is Vada Yerushalayim. That's not part of the extension of Jerusalem.
How would they identify that? They don't need Sanhedrin to say that.
That's within the walls. That's within the walls. That's Rashi. Anything within the walls is Vada Yerushalayim. So therefore, we have disproved the proof. We do not know, we don't have any source to suggest that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would require 71 Dayanim for Egla Rufa, because the 71 Dayanim who are leaving the Lishkas Hagozes for purpose of a mitzvah, maybe it was a different mitzvah, it was to alter the city. Says the Gemara in conclusion, Tanya Kivasei de Rabbi Yosef, we have a supporting brisa for Rabbi Yosef, however. Rabbi Yosef is the one who wanted to suggest that you need 71 for Egla Arufa. So the supporting brisa, because it says Motzon Abeis Pagi Vehimra Alehem Kegoin Sheyotzu LeMedidas Egla.
So here it is,
brisa, we have the missing detail filled in. Here, in this particular version of the brisa, it does tell you why the Beis Din left. They left
for Egla Arufa.
Alternatively, Ula Hoysif Al Ha'ir Ba'al Ha'azorois. So, Yochel Shetehe Amra Osei Amra. I might have thought that constitutes a rebellion. Talmud Lema Nova, come to Valisa La Mokim, Melamed Shal Mokim Goyrim. Fine. So, what do you see in this Brysa? This Brysa is an exact duplication of the previous Brysa, except in this Brysa, it gives us the details that in the first Brysa it didn't. In the first Brysa, it just says that the Beis Din left. It didn't tell you why they left. But here in this Brysa, it tells you why they left. And what does it give an example? Guess what? It says Egla Arufa. That, in fact, is one of the examples. Egla Arufa needs an entire Beis Din? Didn't we say you only need either 3 or 5? Well, it must be that this is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov speaking. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov apparently disagrees, and he requires 71. Okay, a beautiful sugya. We'll see, maybe the beginning of next week we'll learn some of the tesis as well. Yeah, we'll be in touch.
Sure.
Okay, have a wonderful day, everybody.
It's good.